Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your hosts, Jason Dias and Troy Hall. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the sultry South Texas city of New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and joining me, the absolute best co-host anywhere, north, south, east, or west of a hurricane, earthquake, or any other natural disaster. His name is Troy Hall. He's the COO of South Carolina Federal Credit Union. Hey, Troy, how are you?
I am doing wonderful, and I'm just so excited about all the very national days that we can celebrate today.
I know you were telling me about it, and of course, joining us from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and True Line Federal Credit Union, her name is Christina Brocato. Hey, Christina, how are you?
Hi, guys. I'm great. How are you?
Thanks for joining us. So, Troy, what is the day today?
Well, you know, there are several of them. One of them is National Women's Equality Day. Another one is National Dog Day. Another one is National Cherry Slushy Day. But my personal favorite is National Toilet Paper Day.
Oh, very interesting.
I mean, really, and I thought it was appropriate, considering all the crappy economic news that's been shoveled my way lately, I thought I should focus on National Toilet Paper Day.
I think I'm probably can Christine and I pick, because I think I'm going to go with the cherry slushy for my part.
I was going to go with cherry slushy as well.
You know, I'm going to ask
y'all
something.
Just keep in mind, you will probably still need the toilet paper after the cherry slushy.
Oh, all right. Hey, listen, just speaking of cherry slushies, because I'd much rather go in that direction.
I love the transition. That was really smooth, Jason. Smooth.
Thank you. I've noticed, and I think Sonic did it first. There's some other. We may have talked about this before, but I've noticed that a lot of these restaurants that don't sell alcohol put out their cherry slushies and all of their frozen drinks, and they call the period of time where you can come buy those drinks at a discount happy hour. I really believe that there is a marketplace out there for people who drink at work. They go get their cherry slushy, they top it off with some Smirnoff, and they go back to their queue. Because I can think of a couple of businesses. I know Sonic did it for a while. They called it happy hour. And then Jack in the Box might have their own happy hour, too, where they really try to push their slushies. Chick-fil-A does not do it. But, of course, Chick-fil-A is a different kind of. So, I don't know. There may be some very interesting subliminal marketing going on there.
I don't know. You know what? I have to tell you, I want to sometimes get inside of your head, because if what comes out is as messy as that, as what's inside has got to be a lot more fun, too, you know?
Well, hey, here it is, the last Friday of the month. And if it's the last Friday of the month, you know what that means, Troy?
It means it's time for our favorite Sarah.
You know it. That's right. Never change, never stop. Her name is Sarah Snell Cook, and she's the editor of the CU Times. And as always, Troy has a question for you.
Hey, Sarah, welcome. And what say you?
Good afternoon, fellas. You know, the what's very
Video audience is looking out the window. Sorry about that.
Yeah. I have a ton of fans out there, all five of them. So what we've been covering in the news of late has been, first, the CUSO regulation that NCUA is looking at just closed their comment period regarding allowing NCUA to look further into CUSO financials in the interest of the credit union owners and investors. Not a lot of happy credit unions with that, not a lot of happy CUSOs with that. So sounds like NCUA is doing its usual job. And then,
but
and then
oh my God.
I didn't get the drum roll. Come on. Okay, and
go.
Then the second thing that's really been topping our headlines has been the different corporates that have announced they're making it or not making it with their recapitalization efforts. Westcor hasn't technically announced yet, but we have discovered they're nowhere near their capitalization goal. And Southeast Corporate also is telling us that they don't expect to and are looking at a merger. Westcor is still a little more iffy as to what they're going to do because it was so large at one time. And then you got others like Members United, now Aloya, on the fence. So that's kind of the credit union-centric news we've been dealing with. And right now, of course, well, actually last week in our D.C. offices, we had felt the earthquake, and there's some damage around D.C. It shut down our D.C. office for half the day, but, of course, we were still up and running other locations, providing news to you all. And fortunately, there weren't any real credit union headaches associated with the earthquake that struck the East Coast. And now, of course, we've got Irene bearing down on us, as I'm sure you know, Troy, as well. So we'll see what happens with credit unions as Irene heads down the or up the East Coast, and what kind of havoc she might wreak on credit unions and their members. So that's kind of an overview of the news we're looking at right now, guys.
You know, what was interesting about what you said, the thing that kept continually coming to mind, but even more appropriate when you talk about national disaster, is our concept of business continuity within credit unions to make sure that we are, you know, prepared for business, be able to serve the members. But when you talked about CUSO regulations and the recapitalization, I'm telling you what, maybe we need to expand business continuity and consider those two topics as well.
Certainly does have an impact. Not quite the natural disaster, more man-made, but
yeah,
definitely an impact on credit unions' business operations.
Well, I noticed that when the earthquake did happen that you guys were still out there updating things, tweeting things, so you got your continuity plan squared away. As always, thank you for keeping on top of all the stuff for us, Sarah. We will look forward to speaking to you again at the end of next month when I have just returned from Alaska for our Concept for Financial Literacy going on in Alaska next month. And before we let you go, we got to ask you, which day do you think you're going to celebrate?
You know, National Toilet Paper Day is every day. So I was, you know, in honor of our upcoming Women to Watch program that we're announcing for credit union female executives, I'll go with the National Equality Day.
I like that. I like that.
There we
all
go.
Right. Hey, listen.
Thank you guys very much.
If it's the last Friday of the month, it's Sarah Snellcook. Thank you so much for joining us, Sarah. You take care and be safe.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye,
folks.
Sarah.
Bye.
Always enjoy hearing Sarah's in an all-day meeting, so I really appreciate her hopping out for that. Now, Christina, you said there's really no weather going on where you're at. Is that true?
That is true at the moment.
Very good.
They have evacuated the barrier islands and the coastline for us, so we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, listen, today we're talking about America's 12th and largest generation, the baby boomers. We do a lot of talking about Generation Next, Generation Incorporated. But, Troy, you know, we always keep it balanced here. And when we come back, we're going to hear from John Vardalos with the American Boomer Group. And we'll do it right after this. His name is John Vardalos with the American Boomer Group, and he's here to talk to us about America's largest generation, the baby boomers. What are credit unions doing right, and what can they do better? If it's Friday, it's Radio Free, and if it's John Vardalos, it is Boomer Radio. Hey, John, how are you doing?
Hey, guys, thanks. Love the intro, boy, with CPR.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go, baby.
We'd like to welcome you back to the show, and we're talking about baby boomers today, something that I've had to be mindful of in my spoken sessions and everything that I've done is to not forget to talk about the baby boomers, naturally.
Well, you have to. You have to. Yeah. There's so many of us.
So many of y'all. I want to ask you first and foremost, a lot of baby boomers, again, watching their investments, their portfolio take a hit, just another kind of recession 2.0 going on out there right now, as millions and millions of baby boomers are closing in on that retirement red zone, and they're concerned about their money. What kind of opportunities does that present for credit unions, and what kind of things should credit unions be doing?
Well, Jason, there's huge opportunities for boomers. First of all, the biggest fear the boomers have is outliving our money or outliving our finances. It's expected that anyone that turns 65 this year can expect to live another 21 years. So you're talking about a long time of having to support yourself, your family, your spouse, your significant other, your children, et cetera. So there's a lot going on there. So I think it's a golden opportunity for credit unions because in many cases, half the credit union membership are boomers or over 50 years of age. The average age of a credit union member is 48 years of age. So if credit unions will look at their fields of membership and profile their members, they're going to see that there's a huge opportunity just among the baby boomer population there. Things that credit unions should be aware of that boomers need help in is obviously this whole thing about retirement planning, how to manage their finances going forward, because they're going to have to be concerned about that because, like you say, right now we're in recession 2.0. Again, the market, the 401ks, the investments are causing boomers consternation. They're taking a hit. So from the standpoint of retirement planning, it's a huge opportunity for credit unions to reach out. Offering retirement planning services. The other key area is the healthcare. Health and long-term healthcare is another huge issue that credit unions could take a proactive stance on and reach out to their members. And then helping members manage their finances in retirement is a huge opportunity out there for credit unions to make a difference.
You know, John, one of the things that you talk about and we've chatted about before is that transfer of wealth that is out there. And according to a statistic that I quote when I do some of my sessions, it's about $136 trillion is about what's out there on the market. And to me, the significant information that came from that is not only is that amount staggering, which is supposed to be transferred over the next 30 to 50 years, so you consider over the time period, but what's really happened is the delay of that transfer. And so as the, because that transfer of wealth is being delayed, doesn't that really just support more why the baby boomers continue to play a dominant role in decision-making for credit unions?
Absolutely, Troy, because boomers, because of that delay, are and what's causing that delay is the economy and the fact that they are still working longer. Over half the boomer population is continue to work even after they retire because they have to in many cases. Other cases, they want to stay engaged. So the whole wealth management, the transfer of wealth is another huge area that credit unions can play a role in for their boomer members. And the other key thing that, ties into that is the fact that so many boomers, only one-third have properly planned for their retirement. So you've got about 70% of all boomers entering their retirement years unprepared. So there's a huge opportunity to help them with that aspect of their life.
And before Christina goes to her question, I just wanted to do a real quick follow-up. One of the things that you mentioned in the listing of items that, that folks could do is look at retirement planning, healthcare, and long-term healthcare specifically. Are you aware of any information that would be helpful to credit unions regarding long-term care, maybe partners or somebody that you know of within a group that, you'd kind of throw out and say, hey, I've got some information. You need to check it out. You're not looking for an endorsement. They're just looking for any information that you may provide to help us leverage some of those opportunities with this demographic.
Well, I think they can go and look at credits, you know, look at insurance providers, healthcare providers, some at the local, some at the national level. I'm sure that the, trade associations and CUNA Mutual, there are resources that are out there for credits to kind of tap into to look at. I think what's happening right now is many credits are kind of surveying who's out there and who can help us within the credit union system as well as from outside the system. Of course, I'm a fan of trying to keep it in the system, if you will. So I think contacting the national trades, all the vendors that we have, the national organizations, regional, locals, to help out. There's certainly a lot of resources out there. The key thing that I'm seeing is credit unions partnering with investment groups, with retirement planning groups, with local and national health care providers to be able to come up with a package to help these boomers who unfortunately have woefully underfunded their retirement planning. So there's a huge gap and opportunity out there.
Great. Hey, John, you gave us a lot of good information today. I'm just curious what advice you would give our credit union marketers on how to best market to that audience.
Well, I think the key thing with marketers, credit unions need to just reach out more. I think one of the key things that credit unions can do to be heroes to boomer members is to create some sort of credit union retirement education and service resource center, if you will, in the credit union. Think of how that would position the credit union going forward with these millions of retirees who are coming or pre-retirees to know that they can go to their credit union for help. I think the problem out there is there's a perception problem that the credit union really can't help me because they're not geared up to help me in these areas. And that's what credit unions have got to smack and break immediately, is that perception that credit unions don't have the expertise to help people with investments, long-term health care, retirement planning, spending money in their retirement. Another super golden opportunity coming up is in 2013, all Social Security checks are going to have to be sent ACH. Why not reach out and set up ACH direct deposit accounts for these millions of boomers who are going to be retiring at the credit union? So their Social Security checks can be deposited into the credit union, which begs the question, post deposit of your check, create a retiree debit card so retirees can also use the credit union for their financial management of their monies going forward. I think it's a tremendous opportunity that credit unions have out there.
Listen, John, well, for the audience who's listening, we're talking with John Vardalos with the American Boomer Group. I want to ask you another question about the baby boomers and the timing in terms of marketing to them. So hold on right there. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come right back to you after this. All right, you are back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free, where the talk is hot and the hosts are
hotter.
Much, much, much hotter. We're talking with John Vardalos of the American Boomer Group. John, in my spoken sessions, I've been saying something. I want to ask you if it's an exercise in hyperbole or maybe something that has some merit. I've been telling credit unions that I believe they have one last chance to market to these guys before they lose them to the big brokerage houses and stuff like that. What is your response to that?
Well, I agree absolutely 100%. The next couple of years, and we've only got a short window now, and I say a couple of years, I even want to reduce that to the next year or two to really reach out, because you got the first of the boomers hit 65 this year, those born in 46. So the next five years plus, you're going to see a huge activity there. So why should credit unions lose market share to the big investment houses, to the big long-term health care insurance companies? Why should we lose market share and allow this piece of our market, our membership, to go someplace else or help with their financial services? I really think credit unions need to develop a proactive strategy. I do a lot of planning session facilitation, and the last few months I've been encouraging the credit unions that I work with to set up a strategy to tap into almost that half your membership is going to be 50 and over. Help them prepare for their retirement. They're going to need this help. It's just going to be unbelievable if we lose this window the next couple of years of this segment of our demographic, membership demographic. It's going to be very hard to bring them back. Very hard to bring them back.
Well, I agree.
It is.
Absolutely.
It is. Yeah, John, you know, you bring up some really great points when you were talking with us today. You know, I mean, one of the most important things that the boomers actually deal with is outliving their money. And you're right, the actuarial tables are already increasing, and that if you do live to be 65 today, you can expect to live, I think, as you quoted, another 21 years. And that's significant compared to where it was just 10 years ago. You're right about the membership, looking at the age of the membership and the demographics in that, and making sure that we are focused towards that. And I think one of the things that is helpful when you talk about reaching out to the boomers that I just want to throw out there to the marketing folks is You don't have to wait until they are the boomer specifically in order to market them for these retirement and health care. You can use it in multiple stages as each generation gets to that pivotal point out is when you want to make sure that you are also marketing for them, that you don't miss those opportunities. You talked to us about some great products that we can take out. I think the Resource Center was an excellent idea that you put forth for credit unions to really be the trusted source of where they can come and get information. And thank you again for reminding us about the change in Social Security regulation for 2013 and see what we can do to tap into that. So, John, as always, it's a pleasure to speak with you on the phone. And I look forward to a session that we may get to do together where we'll do a little bit of Gen X, Gen Y, and Boomer info.
I would love that. I would love that, Troy. And again, thanks, guys, for bringing this whole issue and topic out there. Because again, I think we've been skirting around the issue as a credit union organization in terms of how do we segment our folks and get out there. A lot of emphasis on Gen X and Gen Y, but I'm telling you, to refocus a little bit and go after the boomer and make a statement and a commitment at the local level that you're going to set up an education retirement resource center for your boomer members would speak volumes to your membership and reconnect folks with.
So, John, just tell everyone who's listening how they can reach you if they want more information from you.
They can reach me at theamericanboomer.com. That is my website, theamericanboomer.com, or they can reach me at J. Vardalis, VARDALLAS, at AOL.com. Love to share information. Love to help credit unions go forward.
Hey, listen,
okay,
John.
Thank you,
we
John.
Want to wish you continued success out there. I love your passion for this demographic, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Love to come on again, guys. Keep up the great work with CU Radio.
We'll do it. Talk to you soon. His name is John Vardalis with the American Boomer Group, and he's here to talk to us about America's largest generation, the baby boomers. What are credit unions doing right, and what can they do better? If it's Friday, it's Radio Free, and if it's John Vardalis, it is Boomer Radio. Welcome back. Man, I got to tell you, I just love that song, so that's probably why I wanted to play the bump again. Christina,
right,
what do you think? What do you think? What a member resource center for baby boomers. I kind of like that idea.
Well, you know, I was actually really impressed because Treliant already has something set up like that. I'm not sure how much we're actually marketing it, so this has inspired me to look into that and maybe give them a little bit more leverage, but I think it makes perfect sense. Both of my parents are boomers, and my mother just retired, and she's extremely active in volunteering, but my dad is also retired and has gone back to work. So, and they're dealing with all of this right now, so I completely understand where he's coming from in trying to help my own parents.
Nice.
Yeah, and you know, the cautionary tale in all of this is to make sure that we don't wait till it's too late. And typically, sometimes I just really hate this, but it is what happens to us in credit union land. We wait too long for the door to begin to start closing before we decide, oh, maybe we should do something about it. And you really can't – I mean, by the time – really, the seriousness of the issue is this. If you wait till they're too long in the boomer cycle, it's already done and over. And I know that from a multi-generational family. My mom and dad are no longer the decision makers – of their family because they rely entirely on me to do and to make all of those choices. And where they have their money set, I'm not moving it because it's too confusing for them. So,
right.
You know, we have to be careful about that initiative and not be swayed by all these billions of dollars, but we got to do something early.
That's actually a great point. When we talk about marketing to the millennials, we always make the point to say that if you get one of those little millennials' attention, you actually get five or six other people that they're constantly connected to with the social networking and stuff like that. But you just said something that I had actually never really thought about. When you market the baby boomers, it's very, very likely that you're also getting the attention of people like your parents who have turned over some of their fiduciary responsibilities to baby boomer children, the matriarchs and the patriarchs of the family to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is, and one of the things that I've been stressing very heavily, not only here at the credit union, but when I consult and speak, is that although we're targeting that younger demographic, that 18 to 25-year-olds, what our research showed us is that we have to get them while they're teens to make a significant. So what it said to me was, if my target is 18 to 25, I have to go below that to actually create the catalyst and the stimulus in order to make sure I achieve the 18 to 25 results. So I'm not saying it's over for boomers, but I'm just saying, we've got to expand the net a little bit more, because there will be a number of folks who are in their 50s, late 50s, who will soon come up to some issues that our baby boomers are facing today at 65.
Well, listen up, y'all. With 4 minutes left in the show, I've got a little surprise for y'all. I've got somebody on the line who knows me very, very well and is going to give us a little quick firsthand account of what happened with the earthquake earlier this week. I'd ask you all to please give a big Radio Free welcome to my big brother, Chris Dias. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. What's up? Oh, I got applause.
This is my big brother, Chris. He works up in the area where the earthquake was. Where were you when the earthquake actually happened?
I was on the third floor of a certain building, certain glass building that people...
That must remain nameless.
That must remain nameless.
Oh, so, because you'll have to kill us if you tell us, right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
But let me preface this the quick story by saying that I have been in a 7.8 earthquake before. In the Philippines, and I've been in a couple fives and sixes in Guam, and all those times I was on the ground, so it's a little different. But when you're up in a building and all of a sudden it starts to shake, let me tell you, you start, I may be Father Dias by, pretty soon. The way I was, so, but now we got the hurricane coming, and so I'm going to start keeping my eyes out for plagues of frogs, locusts, and the rivers turning to blood. And I've already called Brittany, my firstborn, and made sure she was still alive. So,
sure,
man,
it's fine.
It's crazy. So,
well, may I just say that from that last little commentary, I can tell that the fruit has not fallen too far from the tree all the time I spend with your brother, and now hearing you, oh my God.
Now you know where he gets it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Well, we got to ask Chris. I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, but Troy, what days are we celebrating today?
It's National Toilet Paper Day.
Right, National Toilet Paper Day. So
I'm not touching that one, man.
No, nor am I. Nor am I.
That's so why, Chris, we have toilet paper, so you don't have to touch it.
Christina, is there anything you're dying to ask my big brother?
Oh, gosh.
I am single.
There probably is.
Let's get that one out of the way.
Not on radio.
Woo, baby.
Oh, man.
Did you hear what he said?
We just enjoy your brother a whole lot.
Oh, I can tell. I mean, I've listened to the show a few times. And oh, by the way, to keep it relevant, let me just say I've got a couple baby boomers in the queue. I've got a 17 and a 15-year-old, and then I've got a 22-year-old, and I've already got the 22-year-old signed up with USAA, retired military here. So, we're kind of doing it that way. And you guys have an opportunity to get a hold of my two youngest. So.
We'll be working on it. We'll be working on it for sure. Hey, listen, man, thanks for jumping out of secure, top secret office that you work in every day. And I'll talk to you real soon, all right?
All right, buddy. Take care.
Bye,
take care.
Chris.
Take care.
And for the record, he is adopted. I'm adopted and my sister's adopted. So you can't really draw any genetic lines between us. So,
But let me just tell you that there are studies out there that prove that people will look like they're animals if they're around them long enough. So I have a feeling that there's still a connection between the two of you regardless of how you want to not connect the dots.
Oh, no, there absolutely is. And he's absolutely one of my favorite guys in the entire world. I love my brother. Well, listen, y'all, with about 30 seconds left on the Radio Free program, Troy, Christina, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day. Love hearing from you guys. I look forward to chatting with you guys next week on the show. So stay dry, safe, and we'll see all of y'all next week.
Bye, guys.
Take care.
Bye.